Ready? 2 Samuel chapter 6, let's read from verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. And David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought back in the ark of the Lord, set in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread, one of dates, one of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michal, It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord. And I will be more lightly esteemed than this and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. Amen. This is a very well-known story of the Ark of the Covenant that comes in. Comes back into Jerusalem. I took migraine medicine this morning, and it makes my jaw numb. So I might slur some words. So excuse me. And so this is when the ark comes in after being gone for so long, and it finally comes back into Jerusalem, and David begins to celebrate. This week, what we're going to do is, since we've been the last 2 weeks talking about fully following the Lord, you know, and so I thought, you know, during the morning prayer, we can kind of look at episodes in the scriptures, you know, of passion, you know, of passion personified, really seeing someone fully following the Lord in action. And, you know, the first person, you know, obviously we turn to is David, obviously a man after his own heart. And so the ark of God finally comes in. In verse 12, David basically says, you know what? Obed-Edom's house is being blessed because the Ark of the Covenant is there. And so therefore, you know, he's thinking that, you know, I think there's peace now. Remember the last time David tried to bring the Ark, his compatriot Uzzah touched the Ark and he died instantly, right? And then it says, you know, in the passage it says that David feared God. He was really afraid of God at that moment. And so he just gave it over to Obed-Edom's house. It stayed there for a season. And now he's seen that wherever the ark has gone, there's been blessing, you know, which is a pretty good idea. You know, the ark representing the presence of God. Wherever the presence of God is, there will always be blessing attached to it. And so, they get blessed. And so the ark of the Lord comes in, you know, and I've taught extensively on this, so I'm not going to go so much in detail. But notice what happens in verse 13. Right, and so it was that the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, and they sacrificed an ox and a fatling. Now you got to understand, you know, from where Obed-Edom, right, is staying to Jerusalem, the gates of where it's, I mean, that's quite a distance away. You know, I mean, it's not a far distance, but, you know, we're talking, I think, roughly about 7 miles. And so these guys, what they do is they change the order by which they do things, and they say they take 6 steps, and then they stopped everything. And then they worshiped and they sacrificed, right? And then they took another 6 steps and they stopped everything and they worshiped and they sacrificed. And then another 6 steps and they stopped everything and they worshiped and they sacrificed. They did this over miles, you know, and you have to understand the demeanor. If you can imagine, you know, you're one of these guys that's carrying this ark, right? And remember, right, the reason why, I'm probably explaining too much detail now, the reason why God was upset, you know, at the hill country when Uzzah touched the ark, because the Israelites put the ark on a cart followed by an ox, right? The Ark of the Covenant was never meant to be carried on a cart, right, by an ox. The Ark of the Covenant was meant to be carried by men. You know, and so that's why the anger of the Lord burned. And it's a pretty good commentary for us as Christians, especially us at church. You know, because sometimes it's so easy for us to copy, you know, what everyone else is doing in the world. But see, the presence of God is not meant to be used or to be facilitated in that way. It's always meant to be carried by men. You know, I mean, you know, he had very specific instructions about the length of the pole and how these guys were supposed to carry this thing. And so they carried the ark, and it came to a place. And can you imagine being one of these guys, right? You heard about like 50,700 that died at Beth Shemesh. You know, when they opened the ark, you know, hear about, you know, other guys that when the ark was captured, another 30,000 plus died, you know, and then Uzzah passes away when he just touches the ark. Can you imagine being one of those guys that are bringing the Ark of the Covenant back in? You know why you're taking six steps? Because after six steps, you're stopping and saying, thank you, God, you didn't kill me. You know, I mean, you're, you know, it's almost like, oh my goodness. You know, I mean, if I was one of those guys, I'd probably be carrying it like this, right? I don't want to get anywhere near the Ark of the Covenant and disrespect it, right? And we're talking about an attitude here. And what did they do? They took six steps, and they stopped everything. And they worshipped, and they sacrificed, right? Now, I think that's a perfect metaphor for the 7 days of the week, right? He calls the holy, you know, the holy day, or the Sabbath, the holy day. You know, and interestingly enough, you know, if you look in the scriptures, it's actually the first time that God ever used the word holy, right? And it wasn't referring to a thing, or it was referring to time, you know, and he said, this day is holy, right? First time ever God used or mentioned the word holy. It wasn't even in terms of himself, but he mentioned holy in the space of time. And so he calls the day holy. They go and, you know, we go 6 days. And then we have a day where we just stop everything, right? And we worship and we sacrifice. And then God gives us another 6 days. And our attitude should be the same as these guys. You know, saying, God, you led me through another week. Man, bless you, God. Thank you. I'm alive. I'm still here. You know, I'm able to do things for you, right? And then we sacrifice and we worship. You know, and this is a mode. And so now finally this is happening. The Ark of the Covenant comes through into Jerusalem. And if you want to know, actually Psalm 24 is actually the psalm that David writes when the Ark comes in. We're not going to go there, but just for your further study. And so the Ark of the Covenant comes into the city of Jerusalem. And David now, this is passion personified. David dancing with all of his might. You know, the word, if you don't catch this, right, it says that he was wearing his linen ephod. In other words, David stripped off all of his clothes, you know, and the only thing that was left on is, it's not necessarily his underwear, but it's part of his priestly garment, you know. And so David, in this way, he takes off his kingly robe, right? He takes off his other garments that represent different things, and all he's left with is his priestly garment, you know, and which also, you know, goes to speak to us, right? And, you know, when we come before the Lord in worship, you got to strip yourself of all of your titles, right? We need to strip ourselves of all of our accomplishments, you know, and all we are ministers of the Lord. That's it. You know, if we come into his sanctuary, you know, with our accomplishments and, you know, our accolades and all these things, we will not worship because we'll be worshiping ourselves. You know, and David strips off and he gets to his linen ephod and he dances. I mean, this guy goes crazy. You know, I mean, so crazy to the point where his wife looks and it says and despises him at the moment. Now, obviously, this had a lot to do with her father, Saul. You know, but I mean, that's how crazy David was going. I mean, this guy was so passionately worshiping the Lord. You know, and then he continues on and he goes back, and Michelle finally confronts him and he says, you're such a fool. You know, how can you're a king? How can you act like this? You know, even, you know, the word there is even the servants' maids, right? And so what she's saying is, it's not even the servants. It's the servants' servants. You know, even those guys are looking down on you, you know, kind of thing. And you, I mean, that's how low you've come to this place. You know, and, you know, in David's famous words, actually, the New American Standard doesn't do it justice, right? And, you know, if you guys ever heard that song, Undignified, by Matt Redman, that's exactly what he says. He says, I'll be even more undignified than this. You know, in other words, he was telling his wife, you ain't seen nothing yet. You know, you think I'm passionately crazy now? You just wait. I'll be even more undignified than this. You know, I'll worship the Lord with more passion than even this. You know, and so let's just study this just for a moment to give us a little reflection today. You know, so when we're talking about passion, you know, and it displayed in this passage, right, we see one, right, that first of all, they walk humbly with thanksgiving. You know, that they, I mean, literally, they were, you know, as the guys would bring the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm sure this is the orders of David, right? I mean, no one would do this. You know, I mean, can you imagine how bloody this trail was? You know, six steps. I mean, let's just put this in context. From the moment you walked into this door, right, I'd say 1, 2, 3, 4, and if you're standing here, we killed about 5 calves. You know, taking these, I mean, that's just crazy. And these guys did it over miles, you know. And so there's an attitude when we're talking about being passionate for the Lord, there's an attitude of humility and thanksgiving that's attached to that, right? You know, there's also an attitude, you know, of, I mean, I think this is really the most important one, is that we just don't care what people think. I mean, you care what people think, you know, obviously, because you don't want people to think you're a jerk and, you know, that way. But in other words, we're not dictated by what other people think about us. You know, we're not living our lives to please other people. We're living our lives to please God. You know, it's a huge point for many of us, especially young people. You know, so many of us, you know, I mean, honestly, we can say, you know, I really live my life for other people. You know, and there comes a point in our faith that we come to a place where we just live for God. Friends, that's where the passion comes out. You know, it's you're just not aware of other people's opinions. You know, you're not aware of what other people are thinking about you. You know, I've taught on this before, but that's what the sociologists call the looking glass self. You know, what the looking glass self, what it says is that you become what the most important person in your life thinks you are. Right? This is a sociological phenomenon, right? And so if you know what God the Father thinks about you, it should set you free. If you really grasp the love, right, of God over our lives, it should set us free. You know, I mean, this is what we're talking about here. You know, how would a life look like when you really didn't care? You know, and I'm not trying to say, you know, I've been discoursing with this. You know, I mean, last Sunday I preach. You know, I thought it was just a normal, regular kind of message. You know, I got so many emails from people, you know, and comments. You know, actually, one of the funnier comments was, you know, Pastor Sam, I don't think you have to worry about a third service if you keep preaching like this. You know, sort of mean that we're probably not going to grow as a church, right? And I thought, yeah, that's, you know, good point in some ways. You know, but it's, you know, and it's weird. I get all these comments like, wow, you know, that was really courageous of you to say those kind of things. I was like, what's the big deal? You know, I mean, really, well, I mean, what's the big deal? It's just simple truth, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, everyone should be saying the same thing. And, you know, and I realize from the reaction, you know, that people get, you know, I think a lot of our leaders were at church on Sunday and just kind of very worried about what the newcomer was thinking, you know, and I was like, that's not our purpose. You know, I mean, it's not like we don't care what the new guest is thinking. What we really care is what God is thinking. You know, and that should be our focus and our goal more than anything else, and no matter what we do in our life. You know, but it's come to my attention that a lot of times we really focus on what other people are thinking about us, you know, about our church, about this or that, our appearance, or, you know, and that not ought to be the way that we live our lives, and that's not the way that David lived his life for the most part. You know, I mean, he stumbled and fell here and there, but in this passage here, David wasn't concerned with what other people thought. David was concerned with loving God, right? And in this expression, loving God meant dancing basically half nude. You know, I mentioned before, you know, this could have been the first striptease in all of the Bible, you know, as David lays out here. You know, and there's something significant about this, you know, a life that's passionate, right? That's concerned with pleasing God and not with pleasing other people. Again, I'm not saying, you know, be a jerk and be totally oblivious, you know, to other people, right? That's an illness, you know, in many ways. But I'm talking about being a person that's dictated, right, by God's thoughts, by God's beliefs and His thinking instead of other people. And I think when we begin to recognize, right, and walk in humility and thanksgiving, you know, and God brings the security in our life to be able to do that. All right, amen? Let's just close our eyes and let's meditate. God wants us to be free. He wants to be the center. Let's just meditate and just think today. Today, this morning, who are we trying to impress? Who are we trying to curry favor from? If God is not on top of that list, then there is a problem in our faith. And so this morning, let's redirect ourselves. That's precisely what the Israelites did. They redirected themselves. They did it God's way. They didn't do it the Philistine way. The Philistines carried the ark on the cart. That wasn't God's path. Let's give our hearts to the Lord today and ask Jesus to come and to speak. Not that He needs to be impressed, but let's impress God today. Let's pray for ourselves and our community this morning. Let's pray that we would fully follow the Lord. Let's pray that our heart would be to please God and not other people. Even though pleasing other people is okay, I mean, it's part of our life. But that Jesus is the first and foremost. That He's the one that we are trying to impress, not anybody else. Let's just pray, spend some time, pray for yourself. Let's pray for our community, our church, our families. Let's pray that Jesus would truly be number one in our lives. And anything else be a very distant number two. Let's pray. Let's pray for our Bhutan team right now. Let's ask the Lord to bless Pastor Sam and the other staff. They are in India today on the border, and they'll be teaching. They'll be doing an inner healing class. Hannah and I forgot who the other person was. But they'll be teaching about 350 kids today as well. Misan, sorry. So let's pray for just God to move through them. Mei and Jungmin will be teaching the inner healing, and the other guys will come alongside, and Misan and Hannah will be teaching the kids. And there's quite a few people coming out on this border town. And so let's just pray for grace over them. And it's hot, it's humid. You know, Pastor Sam just emailed me, and he said that, you know, Bogdraga, the place they're at, is the slummiest place he's ever been to in his life. And so let's just pray that God would just really use them to be a light in that place. Let's pray. Let's pray for our Cambodia team, our orphanage team number one that's there right now, and also for Tom and for Pastor Nate. Let's pray that as they minister to kids, I heard it's going really well right now. Let's pray for strength, and you know, it's really hot in Phnom Penh right now. Let's pray for unity, and every single person on the team would just be so used by God to minister to these kids. And pray that many would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ through their love and their actions, and our people will be changed through the process as well. So let's lift up this other team as Chris is leading it. Let's spend a little time and let's pray for anyone that you know or in our community that may be struggling with various things, either through illness or through joblessness, or, you know, just in their spirits. They just are very down and out these days, and maybe some have fallen away for whatever reason. You know, the summer tends to do that with people. Let's really pray that the Lord would call them back and would encourage them. Let there be a real spirit of encouragement that flows into their lives. And as they bring their life into order, that God would just manifest His love even in a more powerful way. And so if you know people that are just having a difficult time right now, let's just lift them up and spend some time just lift them up to the Lord and ask for God's providence and His hand to move upon their lives. So. And lastly, as we just start making some prayer deposits into our retreat, let's pray for our retreat, October 1 through 3. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon us. Let's pray for our speaker, Dan Sneed, and the Lord would just continue to give him messages. This is the word of the Lord, really go through him. And let's pray for our people and the schedules would open up. But more than that, let there be a real willingness to come together. You know, the retreat, you know, there's a real twofold purpose. You know, one obviously is to really connect with God. But the other purpose, just as important, is to connect with each other. You know, and so let's really ask the Lord to really bless our time and, you know, make sure our reservations and all the logistics with the visas and all that stuff would go through. And that we just have an incredible time connecting with Him and with one another. All right, so let's just lift up our retreat right now. Lord, we just thank You, God, for Your love for us, Lord. We thank You, God, that You are always prodding our hearts, Lord, into Your presence, Lord, God. And we pray, Lord, for every single one that's here, God, and for our church and our community around us, Lord, in Hong Kong. Lord, let this really be the place where Your glory dwells, God. Lord, watch over our friends overseas that are ministering, God, before You, Lord. Bless them, God. Anoint them, Lord. Protect them, God. And for us here that are ministering, God, in the marketplace and in the work around us, Lord, strengthen us, God. Give us opportunities, Lord, to share Your presence with people around us. We thank You, Lord. We just submit this day to You, God, and we pray, Lord, that Jesus, that You would be glorified in it, God. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.